your hometown newspaper of the air brings you What's Doing in Western Michigan. Western Michigan, a transcribed panorama of the news and views from the cities, the towns, and the countryside of Western Michigan, as recounted in the daily and weekly newspapers received during the week in the WKZO newsroom. Willis Dunbar reporting.
Good afternoon. A letter to the WKZO newsroom early last week was the start of a nationwide news story. It came from a boy in Pawpaw asking that we help him find work. He stated he was 13 years old and a father, that no one would give him work on account of his age. Our news editor, Tony Gaston, investigated the story, confirmed the boy's age and the fact that he was married by consulting the county clerk. Then he flashed the story to the Associated Press, and that's where the newspapers and other radio stations all over the land got it. As you know by now, the boy has been given work on a farm near Richland, and his wife and baby have been given a home on the farm. The story revealed that a family of 11 was living in a two-room shack on the edge of a junkyard in Pawpaw, supported by the $20 a week earned by the father of the family. All this underlines the fact that most of us don't know conditions in our own communities. We're told that thousands of men, women, and children are living on the verge of starvation in Europe or China, but we don't realize that families right in our own neighborhoods may be in dire want. In last week's Belding Banner News, the editor told of an interview he had with a local truant officer. The latter is quoted as saying, "It is almost impossible to visualize the suffering that is being borne these days by many of the children right here in Belding, whose fathers have been out of employment for some time." Truant officer Bert Gregg went on to state that from 15 to 20 families are actually living in near poverty, and that around a dozen children are not able to attend school because of the fact that they have no clothing or shoes. He told of one family where three little tots were confined to their beds most of the day because they had to go barefooted, and the family was living in a shack which had a cold, packed dirt floor. If you think the situation is tough in Europe, just take a half day off and visit a few of these poverty-stricken homes with me right in your own area, said Gregg. Gregg was at the City Hall in Belding all day yesterday collecting shoes and clothing for these people. Well, maybe you're saying these are isolated cases. That isn't happening in my community. Are you sure? Better take a look around. Local politics simmered and bubbled last week as townships and cities nominated their candidates for the April 4th elections. The Coldwater Daily Reporter tells of Republican and Democratic nominations in that city. The Allegan News and the Allegan Gazette reflect a lively battle over in Allegan over the mayor's office. A taxpayers' league there is opposing the re-election of Mayor Walter Kies, while the Junior Chamber of Commerce has come out in favor of the present administration. There's going to be a battle for city offices in Greenville, too, according to the Greenville Daily News. The Republican slate is headed by Mayor Ralph Beechler, while the Democrats have nominated Owen Mumaugh. By the way, a woman, Mrs. James Copeland, turned up at the Democratic Second Ward Caucus in Greenville Tuesday night, and she was the first woman to attend a Democratic Ward Caucus in Greenville in 17 years. The Ionia Sentinel-Standard tells that Donald Ackerman and Anthony Balise are the Republican and Democratic nominees, respectively, for mayor of Ionia. Village elections were held last Monday all over Michigan. The Centerville Observer tells that Gus Weber, whose name wasn't even on the ballot, was elected village president in Centerville. This will be the fourth term that he's held as mayor and his 24th year as a village official. He ran as a sticker candidate. In Pawpaw, Harlan Waters, present president, was also a sticker candidate, but he was not so successful. He was defeated by the regular candidate, Frank Thompson, Jr., according to the Pawpaw Courier-Northerner. It's achievement day for the 4-H clubs all over the area. The Allegan News says that over 800 Allegan County boys and girls will participate in 4-H achievement days in Grizzle Auditorium in Allegan tomorrow through Wednesday. The Cassopolis Vigilant also announces the annual Cass County 4-H Club Achievement Events for Dowagiac High School Thursday through Saturday. High school basketball in Michigan reached its climax last week in the regional tournaments. In Class D, a valiant team from the little town of Hopkins over in Allegan County was eliminated by a narrow margin by St. Joseph Catholic. The latter was one of four Western Michigan teams which went into the finals yesterday at East Lansing. The others were Kalamazoo St. Augustine in Class C, Coldwater in Class B, and Kalamazoo Central in Class A. Here is our assistant sports editor, Bob Culp, to bring you the final scores. WKZO sports editor Tom Carson interviewed Coldwater coach Eby following his big game. Here's a recording of the interview in East Lansing last night between halves of the Class A game. Now for some news around the area. Several county organizations laid plans last week to build a county community building in Centerville. It's going to be located on the fairgrounds. Has an auditorium, will have an auditorium, capable of seating 1,000 people, a kitchen, small meeting rooms, and recreational facilities. It's going to be made available to any county organization, though it started as a Farm Bureau project, says the Centerville Observer. The Marcellus News tells that there's going to be a rip-roaring hometown minstrel show in that town April 1st and 2nd, with the famous barbershop quartet of Marcellus, the Left Out Four, as the featured attraction. Well, the Vicksburg firefighters had a real workout early last week, 6 fire calls in 3 days, according to the Vicksburg Commercial. Hastings and Berry County are going to put on a drive for the United Health and Welfare Fund this spring. That's the organization in which some 20 health and welfare agencies are federated as a means of cutting down the number of money-raising campaigns. Homer Smith and George Carpenter head the drive in Berry County, says the Hastings Banner. And speaking of Hastings, Red Barber in his clubhouse program for youngsters on the CBS network yesterday saluted the Hastings YMCA Youth Council. Here's a recording of what Red Barber said about Hastings over the CBS network yesterday.
Hastings is a community of about 6,000 folks. It's in the vicinity of Kalamazoo. And as cities go, Hastings is relatively small. But it is not small in relation to its thinking about young people, because it has a big all-year-round program with a paid full-time director serving with a council of 9 citizens who are appointed by the mayor. And Hastings has its own ideas of how a recreational program can be operated to best advantage. Hastings has the only YMCA that I ever heard of, which is homeless by choice. Yes, sir, in the middle of 1947, the YMCA gave up its building in order to decentralize its activities. Instead of having the youngsters come to the building, the YMCA went to the youngsters. And so its activities now are carried on in school facilities, churches, playgrounds, the fire station, and in houses. There are sports of all kinds in every season. Summer camps, dances, and other social functions. It's a broad program for all ages, grown folks as well as children. And we hope that this may be of some encouragement to other similar communities which may have felt restrained by the lack of a central building. Now, this community of Hastings has shown that recreation is not just a building, or is even dependent upon a building. And so it's a pleasure to salute the YMCA and Youth Council of Hastings, Michigan, with our clubhouse certificate of good sportsmanship, as well as a check for $100 to be presented by our CBS station, WKZO of Kalamazoo.
And thank you, Red Barber, on behalf of all the folks over in Hastings. The Galesburg Argus tells that more money was raised in Galesburg for the Red Cross this year than in any of the past 6 years. The Marshall Evening Chronicle told last week that Superintendent L.M. Wade of Homer and the center of much dispute in that community has resigned, effective at the end of last week. The Chronicle also told that a Flint family of 4 was killed in a highway accident north of Marshall last week. 2 men were killed and 1 injured in a highway accident near Pawpaw, says the Pawpaw Courier-Northerner. The Three Rivers Commercial told last week of that city's fine flying field, the Dr. T.J. Haynes Flying Field. It's owned by the city and represents today an asset valued at more than $65,000, but the city itself has spent only a little more than $3,000 on the field, the remainder coming from private donations and from federal and state aid. The South Haven Daily Tribune tells that a displaced person's family of 3 will shortly arrive in South Haven. The Allegan Gazette published verse last week under a column headed, "The Poets Cornered." And Walter Beitley had an ad in the Lawton Leader last week announcing that he was running for treasurer of Antwerp Township. To the left of the announcement was a space with these words, "This space reserved for the picture, but the camera broke." Now here are last-minute state news bulletins and the weather forecast. And that's what's doing in Western Michigan. We'll be back with another edition of your hometown newspaper of the air next Sunday at 12:15.